Hey, everybody, it's Joe Trippi, and welcome back to That Trippi Show. This week, the off-script Trump that is absolutely going to come back and bite him. Candidate quality is once again rearing its ugly head for the GOP, and they're in big trouble, which is a good thing. Why the numbers in places like Florida, yes, Florida, are a growing problem for Trump. One state, I think, might surprise you. And of course, we get to a few of your questions. Alex, where should we get started?
First of all, Joe, I have a question for you. And I'm not going to say it in all caps because I don't want to yell. And I don't want to yell. And I'm going to try not to curse today like I did last week. But Joe, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? I can't even say it with a straight face.
Gosh. I mean, like, Trump went there and he's doubling down on it. And, you know, it's going to be, I think the problem he's got is, yeah, you know, in today's world, people thinking back, gosh, things were great before all this stuff. But he doesn't realize everybody's going to get a real good dose of, hey, remember when, you know, Leach and hundreds of, you know, everything, you know, the global pandemic, the economy tanking, over a million Americans died, you know, and now we're leading the economic recovery worldwide, Dow's at record highs, consumer confidence is up, lowest unemployment rate in recent memory. You know, we could go on, but the reason Trump is asking this is he's not asking us, he's asking the people in his bubble. And I think a lot of other Americans who, you know, who it not have forgotten, but just sort of, you know, mixed when, you know, again, if you look, think back before COVID, you think, gosh, you know, things were great before all, you know, before COVID, before the pandemic, before the supply chain stuff and inflation and all those things. But they don't realize, or they're going to get reminded pretty damn quick, who is actually in charge and how he fumbled the ball miserably and cost a lot of Americans, not just their livelihoods, but their lives.
But I do think it is important, though, to, you said it right with the bubble, like he is asking this, and that is just showing how kind of siloed off and how in our corners so much of America is. And it, in a lot of ways, to me, it's kind of like it's his only way to win, right? Is if everyone is just in their tribes and kind of isolated, because the instant people start asking what did happen, or like trying to break out of that alternative reality, I mean, the numbers are just not good for him.
Well, it's not just that, though. They're not good for him. But the other thing is he's sort of on, you know, on the one hand, he's responsible for, he's an anti-vax guy, you know, bleach, ivermectin, all that stuff. But, you know, was responsible for fast-tracking the vaccine. So, what you know, I mean, it, no matter how you go at it, he can't, you know, I don't even think he knows what, you know how conflicted and messed up this is going to be, you know, as he tries to continue to keep his folks in line and stoke them, which is what he's going to try to do, obviously. But I, you know, gosh, it was great. No one made me get vaccines before Trump. Well, not exactly true, but we'll see. We'll see how that all plays out.
There was a really good Biden ad. If you haven't seen it's all Absolutely. Over our Twitters too. But I mean, it's like,
We should put a link to it in the show notes in case people haven't seen it, but yeah. It's a very good ad. Jump right on it.
I almost want someone to just do a countdown from now till the election of ask the question, are you better off than you were exactly 4 years ago today? What happened? I don't think Trump is going to like the results very much.
No, we had like, you know, gosh, unemployment was way up. You know, people were out of work, you know, and again, you know, just the tape of him saying things like, you know, in the early days, hey, it's all handled. This is going to go away in a few days. It's nothing.
Right.
You know, wrong. You know, but people don't remember he did that. A lot of people don't remember the thing with bleach, you know, or the light. You can just shine some light inside the body, maybe, and that'll take care of it. You're going to look into that, right? I mean, crazy, crazy stuff. By the way, he didn't say any of that because he was old. He said it because he's nuts. So, you know, we'll get to the age stuff again, I'm sure, but gosh, is he is not looking good, by the way, either. That's the other thing. And by the way,
yeah, that's,
I don't know if we're going to get to it in this show, but I think he's broke. I think he could be broke.
Let's go there for a minute. Obviously he hasn't, because I won't miss that layup. No one's paying his $464 million bond. No one's taking it up. My money is that some shady foreign interest will do it. We talked about this on past shows, but a cheap price to pay for a presidential nominee. Here are a couple numbers about...
You know, you have to ask, why wouldn't Kushner do it? Why wouldn't Jared do it? I mean, you know, he got that money.
He does have $2 billion Saudi dollars. Yeah,
you know, but no, he's not going to do it either. It's, you know, who would be... You've got to basically take a $500 million, go behind your building and burn it behind your building if you're going to take that bond from Trump, because he ain't going to be good for it. And by the way, when you want it back, if he's president,
yeah,
he's going to jail your ass. So that's not going to work. I mean, it's not exactly the, oh yeah, that's the guy I want to chance a $500 million with, because like he's so good for it. And then two, he never seeks retribution from the people who, you know, who he owes. No, he will. So I don't see anybody real doing it, but I think you're right. I mean, there's a good chance that some, you know, that some money comes in, you know, and it's dark, and he does, it's all private transaction. Right. So
well,
he
someone
doesn't have
just
to disclose
bought
it.
Five shares, yep, of Truth Social at a discounted rate of $464 million, whatever the hell it is. Here are some more real numbers, though. And I know we're skipping around a little bit, but talk about how broke. It's not just him. It's the RNC. I know Rob Flaherty, who's a deputy campaign manager for Joe Biden, tweeted something like, what Trump raised in February, we raised in a single day. But the weird thing, Joe, I mean, once you get to this point in a presidential, once you're the presumptive nominee, once you've clinched enough delegates, donors start falling in line, or should. But if you look at where Trump is now, I mean, the small dollar stuff is drying up like crazy. Again, someone pointed this out on Twitter, but versus 2019, last year, Trump raised 62.5% less money from small dollar donors. And then you get into things like Save America, his PAC, which that is basically specifically to pay his legal fees, which again, he has a PAC to pay his legal fees, but they sent $60 million to another PAC to actually do electoral work. And they've asked for now they've gotten 90% of it back to pay his legal fees. So there is the money is just drying up in a way. I, Joe, I can't remember seeing for a nominee like this before.
Well, no, because I mean, first of all, even if they ponied it up, even if the small dollar donors ponied it up, it would just go to the legal stuff, right? I mean, so...
Right, and we talked about that last week.
Yeah, so most people I just don't think there's a reason. And in fact, I think our side needs to pile it on. I mean, our small donors right now, if 1 million people out there gave Biden $100 this month, I know that sounds crazy, but... It would bury this guy. It would bury this guy and tear their heart out if we could somehow, you know, do that. To take this moment when it's clear he's down, it's clear the small dollar, the big donors, no one wants to give money to him right now. You know, and, you know, we keep talking about, I keep tweeting, you know, he's so weak, what a loser, but it's the truth. And I think right now we could... I mean, if you're going to give Biden money, do it now. I mean, I just think, in fact, I think we should start trying to push that online more, that notion, because I do think that while he's in such, you know, while Trump is really hurting right now, it could be just dispiriting. I mean, it must be already to see Biden laying up these huge numbers compared to, you know, I mean, four times what Trump's bringing in. The DNC having far more money than the Republican National Committee. You know, I just think it's clear that we're opening up a gap, and now's the time to step on the gas, I think.
Support for That Trippy Show comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it. Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/trippy. That's odoo.com/trippy.
Well, and I don't know if you saw this, but Joe Biden at a fundraiser, I think it was in Texas, maybe yesterday, but he said something like, times are tough for a lot of people. I had someone come up to me and ask me for money, and I said, no, Donald, sorry, I can't help. It's right. Like,
yeah,
when Joe Biden is telling jokes at your expense like that, you know, it's not great.
Trump, what a loser. Yep. No, I think that's right. And I think that the one thing that is happening too, is I do think the Biden, one, they've been doing, their social media has been stepped up. But part of the reason for that is there's humor in what they're doing now. A lot more thought than we've seen in the past. And that Biden quip kind of points to that. So hopefully they'll keep more of that. Because I think ridicule, the humor is kind of ridicule, really eats at Trump more than anything else. I know we know that from the Lincoln Project and work we've done there.
So what I want to get into is the North Carolina stuff, and then we can zoom out and talk about your Utah point from our email chain, and then some other numbers from this week's primaries. All right, Joe, before we get too far into primary results, because people are still voting and there's a reason we're still talking about these numbers, spoiler alert, it's more bad news for Trump. I do want to talk more about North Carolina, because it seems like at this point, every day, something just totally insane is popping out of a GOP nominee's mouth or coming out from a past extreme statement. The reason we wanted to talk about it, and we'll take a look at more of these states in future episodes, but Joe, we're kind of thinking this might put North Carolina in play, right?
Yeah, no. I think North Carolina is in play. I mean, I think if this gets into the candidate quality question as well, that's starting to show up like it did in 2022 and 2020. You know, it's there. MAGA is, you know, isn't sending their best, that's for sure. Well, maybe they are sending their MAGA best. But anyway, you know, and this could turn out to be a regular segment because more and more insanity just keeps coming out from the GOP statewide candidates, Alex, as you know. But I mean, we talked about Mark Robinson before, but now a video from a speech came back where he was attacking Simone Biles for withdrawing from the Olympics. And he said, quote, I ain't no weak gymnast that quits when the going gets tough. I mean, this is the same guy, that was an unquote there. And this is the same guy who said that he can't wait to go back to the time when women didn't have the right to vote, when women couldn't vote. And he's their nominee, their statewide nominee for governor. Right.
Well, and at the same time, you get all these media stories about how there's a younger, more diverse GOP. And I know you've mentioned it, Joe, the primary electorate is older and whiter. This is why. It's stuff like this that's why.
Yeah. And so, this guy is going to lose North Carolina. He's going to lose the governor's race by, gosh, I don't know. I'll bet by high singles.
I was going to say, I'd set the over-under at like 7, 7.5.
Yeah. So 7, 8, maybe 9. He's going to lose the governor's race. Then you got the nominee for state school superintendent, Michelle Morrow, who's repeatedly called for executing Democrats, including executing Joe Biden and Barack Obama, and suggesting that they do it on pay-per-view TV. I mean, this is their, we're not talking about crazy MAGA congressperson candidate. We're talking about somebody who's the nominee for state school superintendent. the person who would be running the schools in North Carolina is repeatedly calling for executing Democrats. So this is all, I think, putting North Carolina in play. We've gone over the math. You know, Joe Biden lost by 74,000 votes in 2020. And now, Nikki Haley, you know, after she had withdrawn from the race, was no longer a candidate, received 250,000 votes in the primary, the North Carolina primary against Trump. And you think a bunch of those 250,000 won't look at the other crazies on the ballot and say, nope, no way. And so when you look at that, it was 74,000 votes in 2020 that Biden lost by. You see the statewide nominees that are just out of this world nuts and are going to lose those races. And then you look at Nikki Haley getting 250,000 people. So yes, some of those may have been independents that voted for Biden in 2020, possibly. But there's 250,000 votes. And as somebody's, you know, repeated, it was Brownstein again. We'll keep repeating him. But Nikki Haley has left 250,000 breadcrumbs for Joe Biden to go after to close that 74,000 vote gap. And then on top of it, you've got all this help from Mark Robinson and Michelle Morrow. So,
and more, who I'm sure will come out. Yeah. I mean, the thing here, and again, at the risk of repeating ourselves, that 250,000 is already, and I think technically they voted Super Tuesday. She dropped that the day after, but okay
you're right. You're right.
But more importantly, that 250,000 is voting against Trump because they think he's nuts, too extreme, done, a loser, whatever it is. The way you win them back generally with down ballot candidates is to show maybe something other than that. And they are very much not doing that. Like, this is not how you excite that 250,000 to come out. Like, they are going to have an election day on their couches at this point.
No, not only that, you've got like Ohio, Marino. This, I can't believe this today, or maybe it was yesterday, says that, I mean, because he's another crazy, which we'll get to, I'm sure. But he said, literally went out and said, you know, if you're a moderate Republican, don't vote for me. If you're a moderate, you know, don't, you know, vote for somebody else, vote for the other guy, vote for Sherrod Brown. It's like,
but like, this is what I don't understand. There is literally no reason to do this. Like, it is not a good idea. Like, keep doing it. Please keep doing it.
Yeah. So but this is why, like, I think, like, a lot of places,
you've run a lot more campaigns than I have. You've been around and seen everything. I'm just trying to get my head around, am I missing something here? Is there a bank shot? Is there some jujitsu I'm missing? Because doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, no, it's they are, you know, politics and campaigns have traditionally been about addition. And for some reason, Trump has never tried to add at all to the base. And frankly, continues, and MAGA continues to subtract. I think, again, we've talked about his ceiling, you know, shrinking. I think I believe that. So I think their strategy is to one thing and one thing only. So inflame the base that they believe that they can turn the base out, you know, they can turn out 100% of their base by inflaming them and not trying to grow anything. And we just get a traditional 70% or something, you know, turnout of our base. But I think it's a really crazy strategy, because the more crazy they get to try to stoke their base up, the more they shrink their ceiling, the more they drive these moderates away, or, you know, sane people away anyway. And, you know, even conservatives, I mean, who recognize how bad this is, are, you know, they have to worry that they stay home or vote for Biden, because the stakes are so high for democracy and the threats that Trump is making.
Well, that gets us to a state that I did not think we would be talking about, especially, by the way, with Mitt Romney retiring. Utah, Joe.
Yeah.
Why on earth should we be looking at Utah right now?
Because like I do think North Carolina is going to be in play, but you know, the Trump thing has gone so crazy that we can literally ask ourselves the question, could Trump lose Utah? And, you know, there was an article in Salt Lake Tribune where the numbers look pretty bad for Trump. Trump got about 56% in Utah in the caucuses, and turnout was way, way down, only about 10%. I mean, there was no enthusiasm whatsoever. So you know, when you look at these things, you know, you're going back to the general election in 16 and in 2020, Trump got 45% in the 2016 general election, his worst performance in any state he won. Trump only got 45% in Utah in the 2016 general election. It was his worst performance in any state he won. And he only got 58% versus Biden in 2020. So, you know, look, 58 is 58, but that's only 8 points, 9 points away from going under 50. He got 45% there in that state in 2016. Romney is, you know, I think there's a chance that Romney and people, Republicans like him, will ring the alarm bell and have about not voting for Trump and maybe even being a little louder in support of democracy and Biden. And so when you look at that, and then you look at this anemic, this is a Republican caucus. We're not talking about that general election where he got 45% in 2016 or even the 58 he got against Biden in 2020. No, this is 56% in a Republican caucus in Utah, and the turnout being—
Which is a lot more conservative, yes, than a Republican caucus in, say, New Hampshire.
Exactly, and with only a 10% turnout. So you look at that, and you have to ask yourself, are we nuts? Or people, you know, are we the only ones that see the weakness of this guy? That, you know, everybody out there talking about how strong he is, how invincible he is. Utah is looking pretty shaky, and it should be starting to stare everyone in the face.
Obviously, if you look at the other primary results from this week, it ain't just Utah. Just quick reeling off a couple other votes against Trump. 25% in Kansas, 25% in Arizona, which I want to get back to in a minute, 21% in Ohio, 19% in Illinois, and 19% in Florida. Now, Florida, Joe, is really interesting. Some of these were closed GOP primaries, which for our listeners, in some primaries, there have been accusations that Democrats are crossing over to support Nikki Haley. In a closed primary, you can't do that. Yeah. So in Florida, like the haven of Ron DeSantis, et cetera, 19% of GOP hardcores said no mas to Trump. That is a gigantic red flag.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's real weakness. He is driving away a part of the Republican Party. And remember that, you know, we talk about, hey, you know, Georgia, only 14,000 votes decided things. You know, Arizona, 16,000, you know, 44,000 votes separate, you know, in Pennsylvania. That's how tight these races should be. And so you can't afford to have 19% of GOP voters not voting for you. And by the way, the 14% in Florida that voted for Haley, as they have everywhere, a lot of them have said they don't intend to vote for Trump in the general election. So you can't now, you know, Florida may be going a little bit too much on the hope front because of the, you know, the makeup of the state.
Yeah, of course.
And the margin there. And also,
right, he can easily overcome a 10 or 12% drop off. But 10 or 12, he can't in North Carolina.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I think when you're seeing this in a place like Florida, and then you look at North Carolina and you have all this plus just horrible candidates statewide. You see it in Ohio now with Marino. You know, I think we're going to see, weak statewide candidates. I mean, crazy candidates like we saw in 2022. And I think, so I'm actually starting to feel a lot better about the Senate. It's going to be tough, but, you know, I think the chances to carry Ohio just went up. I think a lot of things are happening here where the divide that Trump is creating in the Republican Party is not going to be fixable. We still don't know, you know, what's going to happen, you know, in terms of VP and that kind of stuff, you know, but it'll be another, you know, basically somebody that he knows will do. He won't be, he's not going to pick somebody that he's going to have to want to hang on January 6th of 2025. He's going to pick somebody who's going to do exactly what Mike Pence wouldn't do for him. So it's going to, a lot of this stuff is going to pile up, and we're starting to see it pile up. You know, Lev Parnas testifying, another one where the Republicans do another hearing, to go after Biden, and it turns up blowing up in
Fox
their face.
Fox cut away from that hearing, by the way.
Yeah, I know. So, you like know.
You know that is bad news when Fox and, is like, nope, we do not want you seeing this.
Yeah, and Lev Parnas is just saying what should have been obvious to everybody this whole time. But you know, it really, really was stark damage to Trump and to Giuliani and to the whole big lie. And to Russia, you know, and to the denial that Russia has anything to do with anything. I mean, Parnas, I think, you know, again, they keep trying to do things that just blow up in their face. And like, again, why Trump went out and endorsed Moreno in Ohio, this guy's nuts. And I'm sure McConnell had to be, you know, lose his mind. Well, he lost it a long time ago, but you know what I'm saying? Well, I mean,
no,
like,
that's why he's quitting.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just incredible that he's gone off and done this again. Just like some of, you know, the other crazies that he got into races in 2022, I mean,
if you look at the Senate, I mean, it, no question it maps against the Democrat. I mean, it really kind of a whale of a job to try to get back in it. But we get a lot of questions. Our biggest listener question this week was, okay, how do you win back the Senate when you have to defend in Ohio and Montana? Well, the way you do it in Ohio is you run against Bernie Moreno.
Yeah. It's really fascinating. But also, look, if Ohio starts falling apart for them, that means Democrats can put more resources into other places. I don't think they're going to win the governor's race in North Carolina, for example. So the Republicans or the school superintendent, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen either. But, you know, in the Ohio primary, Trump only won 79% of Ohio Republicans in that primary, you know, 21% didn't vote for him. The Trump surge is looking more like, you know, 10 to 15% of GOP voters aren't going to do it. They're not going to vote for him. And I think, and with a candidate like Bernie Moreno, you know, super MAGA, tons of controversy, has said some really nutty stuff, you know, it's candidate quality. And so the way Sherrod Brown wins in Ohio, as you put it, is Bernie Moreno. Bad candidate quality. We still don't know how that's going to play out in some of these other contests, you know, who's going to get the nomination in some of these states against, you know, Democratic incumbents. But right now, Ohio put the bar, you know, lower the bar a bit for chances of Democrats to hold the Senate. And look, at this stage, like you said, the map isn't good for us. Take every break we've got, and Trump stepped in it with Bernie Moreno. And I think that's another one where it'll be interesting to see. The question I had was like, how much did Bernie Moreno pay Trump for that endorsement? You know, I mean, I tweeted that, but it's true. Like, you got somebody, he badly wants an endorsement, Trump's endorsement. Trump badly needs money right now. So it's an easy call. You like call them up, said like, hey, I'll give you $1 million, but I need you to endorse me. I'm not saying that happened, but you know, I think inquiring minds would like to know.
Speaking of inquiring minds, Joe, a few more questions from listeners before we get going. Question from Mark in England, actually about the Texas race. 2018, it was a 2.5-point race. He says, could the combination of an unpopular incumbent, abortion, a football-playing moderate challenger, we're talking about Colin Allred, and more, put Cruz's Senate seat in play? Or do we all calm down and focus on North Carolina? And then he said, keep being awesome. I choose to believe that was at me, but I think it was probably to both of us.
Yeah, I think people are going to be amazed at how there's a drop off with Republican turnout. Not all of them. I mean, I think a lot of them will turn out and vote. These swing moderates, a lot of them will come out and vote for democracy and Biden. And again, that's one of the reasons we keep worrying about third parties, because some of them will choose to do that. But I think Ted Cruz is vulnerable. I think, yeah, a football playing moderate challenger and somebody, another candidate quality thing. I mean, Ted Cruz, you know, very unpopular incumbent. You've got, as you point out, abortion and, you know, a whole host of other issues that I think will play to Democrats in terms of, you know, women's reproductive freedom, the whole problem of, I mean, even, you know, just abortion ban stuff there, you know, and Cruz is just wishy weak. I mean, he really is just a, you know, a wet doll. I mean, he's just a limp noodle. In terms of being, there's no strength in him or standing for anything. So, no, I think Allred has a really good chance there. And, you know, the Democratic Party in Texas has been growing organizational muscle. Its muscle memory is, I think, gaining some strength. And I do think that one of the things that's going on with the Republicans, and we see this in Alabama, I think, is when you have one party rule so long in a place like Alabama, Texas, just the corruption of Paxton, the attorney general. I mean, you start to just think you can get away with anything. And I think Abbott does that. The governor thinks he can get away with stuff that's obnoxious and just crosses the line for a lot of people. I think all that is going to come back and hurt Cruz. I don't think there's any way, you know, the Democrats put the state into play, you know, other than against somebody as weak as Cruz. But I think eventually it'll be like North Carolina, a place that is turning and it continues to turn. But I do think this may be our best shot in a long, long time to take a Senate seat.
Joe, one more before we go. This is from Andrew in Maryland, and thanks for writing in, Andrew. He wants to know, and he's talking about Kristi Noem in the Veep Stakes, the governor of South Dakota, but his question is like, isn't anybody worried that like everybody's just destroying their future credibility by either going for VP or destroying the RNC? Like, that's just not a concern for anyone at this point, right?
Well, not Noem. she's not gonna be concerned with that. She, one, is a true believer. She wants to be VP and she thinks Trump's all that, you know. So I don't think she's got any, you know, she's not worried about it. I think Nikki Haley has to worry about, I mean, I think she legitimately sits down and calculates whether it would be better to embrace Trump at the convention or quietly, you know, just not say a whole lot. And, you know, she'll posture because she is concerned. She's ambitious and she wants a future and she understands that she has to maneuver, you know, one way or another around Trump in terms of calculating later on, will the Trump MAGA crew still have a big impact in 2028? It will. And so she's likely to play along, but not get way out there. She will not want to be his VP. But I think several of the others, and you know, the interesting one is Mark Rubio now, Marco Rubio, because, you know, now he's being floated. So here's a guy that, you know, went after Trump for having little hands and endured all the little Marco jokes, and then fell in line and has, you know, literally, been a sycophant for the most part the rest of the way once he caved, you know, could he, you know, and I think theoretically is young enough that he might have, you know, future ambitions beyond this cycle. But, you know, I think we know what he's made of, which is nothing. So that tells me that, you know, if Trump asked him, I think he wouldn't have the same qualms Nikki Haley would. He'd probably say yes. I think there's all kinds of problems with that. You got two guys from Florida. I can't see Rubio, you know, denouncing his Florida residence while he's a senator from Florida. I just think there's all kinds of, but I do think he's an example of somebody who would do that, would actually change his registration to Utah. That's what it took to be on Trump's ticket and to have a leg up in his mind of leading the MAGA crowd into 2028, win or lose with Trump, because either way, I think even he may know, though, that it'd be VP for life. That's the other thing you got to calculate with these people is how many of them realize, well, if Trump wins and I'm his VP, you know, it could be a lifetime gig. So,
well, and it might be shorter than people realize. Yeah, it
could be. You could be hung because that would be possible in a Trump administration. So anyway, and he's going to be revengeful. You know, he's going to get his revenge and his retribution. So. No, it's really crazy because, some people are actively wanting to be part of it. And I think others are just trying to like figure out how they can sneak away, but still not offend the MAGA group, the MAGA crowd, the same way they hold a lot of the party hostage in the House.
All right, Joe, we're just about out of time. Thank you, everyone, by the way, for sending in a bunch of questions. There's a bunch more we haven't gotten to. We'll get to them in a future week.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to That Trippy Show. This podcast will always be free with support from our advertisers and as part of Resolute Square. Check out the latest at resolutesquare.com/trippy. Please subscribe to That Trippy Show and leave a review on Apple or wherever you listen. You can always send us a question to thattrippyshow@gmail.com or leave us a question in a review on iTunes, and we're actually starting to get to some of them. So we'll see you next week. Be a lot more to talk about. And thanks for being part of That Trippy Show.